that now people are finding out their mistakes and they're going back and telling them what the fact is. So judges started complaining to the rulers that, look, this person is ruining everything. We give a judgment, and then he tells people the true ruling is something else, and the judge made a mistake. So that was another reason that some people were very upset with that situation and with documenting it at that time. Imam Malik rahimahullah was asked once that who is the most knowledgeable people that you have seen that came to Medina Munawwara. Imam Malik is the faqih of Medina Munawwara. So he was asked, who was the most knowledgeable person that you have ever met? And then the person mentioned some names. That was Ibn Abi Layla, Ibn Shubrama. These were the judges of that time. And he mentioned the name of Sufyan al-Thawri, and he mentioned the name of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah at the end. So Imam Malik rahimahullah replied that, why did you mention him at the end? He said, when he came to Medina Munawwara, some of our people who did not like him, this is what Imam Malik says, some of our people who did not like him, they went to him with some very strong objections. And he knew that they came to him only to object, not to solve the problem. So he says, I was present. This is Imam Muwaffaq rahimahullah, he's a Shafi'i, he narrates. He says, I was present, and those people who had prepared these masail for months before he came for Hajj, when they asked him a question, he told them the answer that was different than what they thought it would be, and he convinced them that this is the right answer and not this. Then when they were convinced, he told them this answer is wrong. And he gave them another answer, and he convinced them that was the right answer. When they were convinced, he told them this is wrong too. He convinced them of a third answer. When they were convinced, he told them the third one is wrong too. Then he gave them their fourth right answer. He says, you're talking about that man. When the reason Imam Malik rahimahullah mentions it, that he drives it so deep that the hadiths are common. But he says, look at this hadith and the meanings of the hadith and the driving of the ruling. That is the main point that fiqh is all about. Driving the ruling. And that driving of the ruling needs very sharp and deep understanding. Besides having all the material available of Quran and hadith, a very deep understanding about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that type of very, very extremely deep understanding of all situations. For example, there was a person whose name was At-Tusi. He did not like Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. One day, when Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and he was very close to Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, who was the ruler. So one day when Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah went to Abu Ja'far al-Mansur for something, At-Tusi said to his people, today I will make sure that I get him killed. And it was common in those days. Someone said something against the king and is gone. And people knew as a fact that Imam Abu Hanifa, he openly says things about them. Whenever they do something, he just comes up and he says that this is wrong and this is wrong about rulers. So, when Imam Abu Hanifa arrived, At-Tusi raised a question to Imam Abu Hanifa in that gathering, asking him that sometime the king, now Abu Ja'far is sitting there, sometime Abu Ja'far al-Mansur gives me an order to kill some people. Am I allowed to do it without questioning and just go ahead and fulfill the order? Or should I not fulfill his order when he gives me those type of orders of killing people? Now, the question is, if he says go ahead and do it, it's against the Sharia. How can you allow a person to kill people like this? And if he says do it, it's against the Sharia. If he says don't do it, right there, this is what At-Tusi wants. Next thing you will see, Imam Abu Hanifa is the next person that he will get the order to kill. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he says, at that time I remembered advice of my teacher Hammad. Subhanallah, look the closeness to the teacher and the importance of learning. He says, at that time I remembered one day we always used to go to Hammad. And he used to give us a lot of lessons. and details of every lesson. One day we went to him, and I was a little disappointed that day, he says, that throughout the day, he just told us one thing, and that was the end of the whole session, programs, no more lessons. One thing he told us. He told us, when you are puzzled at a question, don't answer it. Ask some other question to the person who's asking you. Fire it back. Ask a question to the one who's asking you. He said that was the lesson of the day. I thought I didn't learn too much that day. But that was the statement that I heard from my teacher, Hamad, that saved my life this day. He says, I thought, what should I do now? And I remembered what my teacher told me in these type of situations. So I asked him, I asked the Tusi, that when Amir al-Mu'mineen gives you the order, does he give you a rightful order where that person really deserves to be killed, or he just gives up an order to kill people that don't deserve to be killed according to the Sharia? So of course, Tusi had no choice but to say, no, Amir al-Mu'mineen, always he gives the order according to the Sharia. So Imam Hanifa says, always follow the Sharia. If he gives you orders to according to the Sharia, then you should always follow the Sharia. That's it. This is type of understanding. There was, during his time, once a situation came up where a person got into a very difficult situation. Robbers got into his house. They robbed his house. They took most of the things from there. And one of the people, he knew who he was because he used to live in the neighborhood. That person knew that this person had recognized me. So, he held him. We normally call it on a gunpoint, but of course with a knife. Asking him to take an oath that his wife will be divorced if he is going to mention his name or anyone here, if he is going to tell anyone who we were. And any wealth that he owns, he will go in a sadaqah if he informs anyone about anything, about any person that was in this amongst the robbers. Now, next morning, he gets up. He knows the man. He can't complain. He goes to the fuqaha, explains the situation to them, that they have robbed me in this way. And they took an oath from me that if I would mention any of their names, then my wife will be divorced. I have already lost my wealth, then I will even lose my wife. And my wealth will be sadaqah, which means even the house that I live in will go into sadaqah. So what should I do now? They said, if you mention the name, you are gone. It's a difficult situation. Finally, he went to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He asked him what to do. He said, do you know, does this person come to our masjid at any time? He said, yes. Do you know when does he come to the masjid? He said, yes. Okay. Because he lives in the neighborhood. He says, go and complain that there are people who robbed my house, because the oath was if he would mention the name. People robbed my house and this is the situation. And then Imam Abu Hanifa explained to those, to the police officers, people in charge in the neighborhood, that when he complains to you, the time that he tells you, don't ask him who the person was. He cannot say it. Let people leave the masjid one by one. And that every person ask him, was he the person? And he should say no if that wasn't the person. And if he is the person, he shouldn't say nothing. So there people are leaving one by one. So is he the person? No. Is he the person? No. Finally, is he the person? Okay, come with us. And this is how they got those people understanding. And really, it's a matter of Sharia where you have to solve it. That opens up a lot of avenues for people in the future to learn a lot of things from this. A lot of rulings to learn from it. That a person have taken oath not to say it, but he did not take an oath on staying silent about it. So there are ways of finding out through that. Khalid As-Simti rahimahullah says that there was a judge Khalid al-Simti was a muhaddis of his time, but he was one of the 40 people in that committee that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah formed. So he said once, there were two judges over there who did not like Imam Abu Hanifa at all. One was Qadi ibn Abi Layla, and the other was Qadi Shubruma. Once Qadi ibn Abi Layla was going somewhere, and he said, I was with Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, we were also going for a walk. There were some people there who were in the park, and there were some women singing. So when they passed by those women, the women saw that it's the Qadi, it's the judge, and this is Imam Abu Hanifa, two great people are coming. So at least this much haya was there in those days, that they stopped singing. Now, as they got close to them, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, that was very nice. And they went. Qadi ibn Abi Layla asked someone to file a case where he would say, Imam Abu Hanifa is the witness. Imam Abu Hanifa will be my witness. And I will call him to the court. I want to talk to him about it. So someone filed a case where he said, Imam Abu Hanifa is my witness. Now Imam Abu Hanifa, as a witness, he had to go there. Qadi ibn Abi Layla asked him the situation. He said, are you the witness? He said, yeah, this person asked me to witness for it. Your witness is rejected. SubhanAllah, the rejected witness of such a great person rejected. He said, yes. That day me and you were walking. Those women were singing. And you told them that it was nice.